Congressman Big Horse, it appears that we have a quorum present on the screen, so whenever you're ready, I've got us turned on.
Okay, Madam Clerk, if you're ready, I'm going to call this Government Operations Committee meeting to order at 10:20 a.m. Today's date is May the 13th, the year is 2020. Roll call, please, Madam Clerk.
Congressman Maker?
Here.
Congressman Walker? Speaker Tillman?
Here.
Congressman Potts?
Present.
Congresswoman Goodfox?
Present.
Congressman Big Horse?
Present. We have a quorum. Congressman Potts, would you mind rendering a prayer for us this morning?
Lord, we thank you for this time today. We just ask for your blessing for this Congress, ask for your blessing for this committee, and ask that you give us guidance and the wisdom to carry on. Lord, just watch over us and guide us, guide our actions, and be with us today. In your name we pray.
Amen. Thank you, Congressman Potts. Moving on, item number four is approval of minutes. If you'll take just a moment to look over your minutes.
Chair Big Horse, this is the clerk.
Yes, Madam Clerk.
I just had a couple of people enter the call, and I wanted to make sure that it wasn't one of the committee members. Congressman Walker, have
sure.
you entered the call?
Yeah. Mason is listening in.
Okay.
Pratt is also.
Thank you, Congresswoman Pratt. I have one more caller that has not identified themselves.
Shanna, this is Casey.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, I can't hear you on the regular internet thing, so I'm on the phone.
Okay, I'll see what the problem is with that as well.
Yes, ma'am. It might be my end.
Okay. Thank you.
Hello.
Yes, Congressman Walker.
Yes, this is Congressman Walker.
Thank you.
Congressman, this is the chair, and we are right now in the item number four, approval of minutes.
Gotcha. Sorry I'm late.
Motion to approve the minutes as presented.
Second.
Have a motion to approve the minutes as presented and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Minutes are approved. Moving on to item number five, ONCR 20-05. Congresswoman Whitehorn is the author. Congresswoman Whitehorn, ma'am, you have the floor. Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Thank you, sir. Give me just a little technical brief moment. My computer's automatically trying to update, and I'm trying to pull the reins back and shut it down. So, excuse me.
I'll go ahead and read your the body
thank
of it. And then,
thank you.
ONCR 20-05, a resolution to authorize the principal chief of the Osage Nation to enter into and execute a tribal council member agreement with the U.S. Social Security Administration to allow the Osage Nation to extend Social Security coverage to the members of the Osage Nation Congress. So that is...
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Committee, I've presented this resolution during the HANCA session. It was made aware to us that legislation had been passed by the United States Congress to allow for a tribal council, for lack of better terms, that's what they call it, agreement to enter in and have their membership have the ability to pay into the Social Security benefit system, which we were currently, previous to that time, disallowed from doing so. I want to back up. So this legislation, it kind of goes hand in hand with the one that was read in this morning, because the definition of benefits is in 2041, and the definition was amended to include Social Security. So I'd like for the committee to take their time, listen to them both together. We can choose not to do this Social Security agreement and just work with ONCA 2041, or we can work them both together. I just wanted to make the committee aware that they move together. So back to ONCR 2005, I've sent you many pieces of support documents. I believe that we've heard this one time, and a question asked of one of the members, I believe it was Congresswoman Goodfox, is how does this affect the tribal council? I asked Treasurer Littleton to give me some information on the bodies that govern the nation, which would be us, and then the Minerals Council is over the Minerals Estate. And both of these, our bodies currently do not pay into the Social Security Administration. I received that evidence on, or that return reply April 9th, and I've sent it on to you for you to take a look at it. It was never my intention to encompass the Minerals Council in this resolution. It's solely written with language that points to the Congress. So I do have some documents that was sent by the Social Security Administration through Mr. Gill, our attorney. Part of that is the application for the tribe to make for the consideration to change the status of our membership. Upon my reading of that, it is specific. You do have to name the body that it's specific to. So currently, Mr. Gill has tried to contact the Social Security Administration again, but like many other businesses, they are, I guess, operating on a small crew and from home. And then I attempted to call them this morning so we could get a definitive answer from them. So with all that being said, what this will do is it will allow for us to pay into Social Security. It will, the resolution doesn't actually do away with the additional 401k, but ONCA 2041 will, by the definition of benefits, will do away with the practice of the additional 401k that only Congress has offered. Other than that, I don't know what else I can say about it. I'm very open to questions, and I agree with Speaker Tillman that we're not in a rush here, and we have time to contemplate what we're doing and thoroughly discuss it and try to thoroughly understand what it would do to our congressional budget and to each member. So that being said, I'm open for questions or discussion. Mr. Chair, I relinquish the floor.
Thank you, Congresswoman. I do have one question, and that was getting back to, I just wanted to make for clarification. You did state that the Minerals Council was carved out of this. Is it carved out in the legislation, or is it just in the application?
Mr. Chairman, if I may, the legislation is written specifically to Osage Nation Congress. There's no mention of the Minerals Council or any other governing bodies. That was never my intention, mainly because I was unaware that they did not pay into the Social Security Administration until Treasurer Littleton identified that. But the language of this resolution is specific and mentions Osage Nation Congress. It does not mention the Minerals Council. And the application that I have that was sent by the Social Security Administration, on that document, you write specifically the name of the body or organization that you're making this application for. So, like I said, just on my reading, I do believe there's safeguards there within the resolution and within the application process that the Social Security Administration offers.
Okay, thank you, Congresswoman. That's what I was looking for. Are there any further questions?
Chairman Big Horse, this is Congressman Walker.
Yes, Congressman Walker.
Well, I don't necessarily have any questions. I understand what the impact of this resolution does. This is something that has become available as an option. It's been around for a year. I don't know what the timetable is. I do believe there is a expiration date, if you will. I would just make a few comments, starting out by saying, yeah, I'm opposed to this. This is something that is, once we take action, it's mandatory and irreversible. And I think, well, I'm not necessarily a gloom and doom kind of person, and I'll say this slightly with tongue in cheek, but once we start paying into the Social Security, we're required to pay into the Social Security Administration. We've been hearing this for decades. I know our generation before me was talked about this, but we don't know if the money's going to be there, and we have an option participate up to 7.65% into a congressional 401k. And the sponsor, Congresswoman Whitehorn, made a comment earlier, and her comment was that only Congress is offered. Well, that's true. The difference is federal law requires that employers contribute into Social Security Administration on behalf of the employees, and the employees have to match it. It's a requirement. It's not a requirement for the Congress or tribal councils. It is an option that each individual tribal council can make a decision whether they participate or not. For us to decide that every member of Congress from now on, and the nation's going to be burdened with that expense, paying into Social Security Administration, I don't understand the logic. I just, and I disagree with it. If you want to pay into a 401k up to 7.65%, you can. If you don't want to, you don't have to. So those are some of my initial comments. Thank you.
Thank you, Congressman Walker. Anyone else?
Mr. Chairman, Whitehorn here.
Yes, Congresswoman.
I realize that there's opposition to this, and I believe it's a decision for this body to make through discussion like this. So I appreciate what Congressman Walker said, and I understand and get his point of view, although we don't share the same point of view. So when I was drafting the email letting to disclose to the Minerals Council that this resolution was being considered and that it was in no way intended to encompass them. I stopped and I thought exactly why I support doing so. And I always have ever since I've been a member of Congress. And I'm going to read you the reasons that I put in the email to the Minerals Council. So in 2012, as a new member, I found that Congress offered an additional 401k to members. The nation matches the Social Security percentage for this additional 401k. And I might mention right here, it is completely optional whether the member of Congress wants to participate in this additional 401k. The extra 401k is authorized by Osage Nation statute. Each Congress, every 2 years, appoints trustees from the body to manage the accounts. Some members agree congressional benefits should be equitable to that of the nation's employees without special favor. Some members may benefit by paying into the Social Security Administration instead of booking 4, 8, 12 years of non-payment to Social Security. If the resolution is adopted, each member will automatically pay into the Social Security Administration, just as the chief, assistant chief, and the employees of the nation. And then also I mentioned that there was a companion bill of ONCA 2041 that has been filed to amend out the existing, the language that permitted the extra 401k. I also stated I have not participated in the extra 401k. Although I understand the reasoning, I oppose the practice. The United States Congress passage of Tribal Social Security Act of 2018 now opens a way to fairly end the additional 401k option offered exclusively to Congress. I understand that members of Congress, that this is beneficial, that they don't have to pay into, and the government doesn't automatically have to match that percentage that's paid into the Social Security Administration. I get it and I understand it. It's a better deal for us. And why in the world would we want to do it in a different way? I have always wanted to do it in a different way. In 2018, this I was made aware, I believe, from a flyer from the Department of Interior that I have looked for in my email but can't find. And when I saw that, I knew then that I was probably going to try to make this change in our the benefits portion of our compensation. So that's just my stand on it. I understand others have opposing views of it, but I still feel like it should be considered by us. And I believe that since it's part of our compensation, that we need to make this change before the election to go into effect. I haven't fully researched that out if we can do it in midstream, but I'm just trying to stay within compliance of the constitutional language. That's why it's on the table. Thank you.
Thank you, Congresswoman. Any other members?
Edwards has a question.
Congresswoman Edwards.
Question to the sponsor. Does the Minerals Council get 1099 for their compensation, to your knowledge?
I don't have any knowledge of how they're, you have the attached email from Treasurer Littleton. I did not care to explore that deep into how they were compensated. Just, I wanted to know the fact whether they did pay in or did not pay in. So I don't have that information, Congresswoman Edwards.
And as a follow-up, did the I recall that the treasurer at one point suggesting that we should get a 1099 for our compensation. Do you recall that? And have you discussed with him whether in lieu of W-2 that the Congress would get 1099, 1099s for their compensation?
if I may, Chairman. I personally have never had a 1099 conversation with the treasurer. Since I've been on Congress, we've been paid by W-2. I do recall you having conversations about the 1099 possibly happening years before I got on Congress. So no, that's not a topic I've discussed with the treasurer. The only knowledge I have of it is from when you speak of it.
May I?
Follow up. Congresswoman Edwards.
Yes. Congress did get 1099s for a period of time, and we got W-2. So I'm just wondering what the treasurer considers as the criteria for providing 1099s versus W-2s, and how repeal of recent legislation might have changed that thinking. So I'd like for someone to reach out to the treasurer and verify whether he has offered the opinion that we should be getting 1099s for our compensation, and if there's any requirement that of a weekly work requirement or otherwise to get a W-2 as opposed to a 1099. Perhaps the 1099 would resolve this issue. Maybe not. But anyway, I recall him saying that, and I am curious as to his position on that. So
I would be curious too. That is a good question. Any other members?
Mr. Chair.
Yes, Congresswoman.
Well, in response to Congresswoman Edwards, I don't have a view to change. We all receive our compensation with federal taxes taken out, and we all receive a W-2 for the compensation the nation pays the members of Congress. At this point, this legislation is not about, it's not my push or my drive to change our form or our status into a 1099 contractor type of compensation. And I don't really believe that this resolution covers that. So I think that's a total different conversation that I'm willing to have if somebody's willing to put the legislation on the table to consider it. But for now, I'm not going to open up that conversation, because that's not the direction that really this resolution goes. It goes with how we're currently being compensated. So I just wanted to say that, you know, if somebody wants to collect that information from the treasurer and start down that road, then I think if we were 1099 employees, this would be irrelevant. I think that's correct. So, and then also we would pay our own federal income tax too. So,
correct.
That's a comment on that. Thank you.
Thank you, Congresswoman.
Mr.
Any further
Chair.
Questions? Congresswoman Edwards?
Part of the reason that I asked the question is because I believe that the classification for Congress was in a bill that's now been repealed, a law that's now been repealed. So I don't know that the law gives any guidance anymore as to how the Congress is classified.
Okay, I'm not sure. As far as the compensation, the W-4 versus the 1099, I think is not germane to this piece of legislation. So I'm looking for movement or further comment.
Chairman Walker?
Yes. Yes, Congressman Walker.
Well, we can table it and see how the discussion with the next bill goes.
Congresswoman
Whitehorn did say that they were somewhat companion bills.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Chair, I'm not opposed to tabling this, but I would like to place an amendment in ONCR 2005 that I feel is additional language that needs to go there about giving some guidance in the resolution of when this should take effect. So if I may assert that amendment right now in the committee vote on it, I'm all for tabling it and moving on to ONCA 2041.
Okay. Congresswoman, you have the floor.
The motion is to amend ONCR 2005, page 2, line 52, after commissioner, insert on July. I think that should say 11th. After commissioner, insert on July 1st, 2020, or thereafter.
Committee, you heard the amendment. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. Discussion?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. That would, if everything is to pass, which I don't know if it will or if it won't, but if it does, that syncs up the bills, the resolution and the bill for this change to take place probably around July 11th. The application directions indicate that it's done by month. So that's why I use the date of July 1st, because July 11th would be the effective date of 2041. So I feel like that language needs to be in there so it all kind of happens at the same time. Thank you.
Thank you.
Chairman, Big Horse, this is Brandy.
Yes, Congresswoman Lemon.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I actually have a question concerning the topic that we're on now. And I believe I asserted the same questions. I know I asserted the same questions when we were in the HUNCA session concerning the Social Security compensation, changing to that. And I believe I had asked at that time that if everyone who is on Congress it'll be mandatory that it's paid, that the Social Security is paid into the U.S. government, that if a fiscal analysis had been done for everyone, for all the members that are seated, the 12 members, because to the best of my knowledge, and the reason I can speak to this is because I personally do not participate in the compensation that is now, or a benefit now that is allowable to the members of Congress. And I know others that don't participate also. Therefore, with a match, I'm interested to find out what it will do to our budget as far as an increase. And that's why I requested a fiscal analysis. And I thought that Congresswoman Whitehorn said that she would have one completed. So therefore, I'm just wondering if there is one, and I've just missed it in my email. And if she could speak to the percentage and possibly the dollar amount that would go into our budget when everyone on Congress is mandated to have to pay in to the U.S. government. Thank you.
Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Congresswoman. Yes, Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Yes, Mr. Frazier is actually, we've been working on fiscal analysis, and I have one that I have not reviewed yet in my email, but I will get it to you quite possibly before this meeting's out. As it's my understanding, we budget for 5 members of Congress on an annual basis that may participate in the additional 401k, which would leave 7 members open, from my recollection, would leave 7 members open that would then be an expense to the nation for paying into the Social Security Administration. And when I review the fiscal analysis, I will release it because I haven't got to take a look. I think it just came right before session started. So, yes, there is one. Yes, I'm working on that. And yes, you are correct. We budget for 5, I believe. So that would mean that there would be collections for 7 additional members. And as to the dollar amounts right now, I haven't reviewed the fiscal analysis yet, and I will and get it to you. Thank you.
Thank you, Congresswoman. Any further question? The chair would entertain movement.
I believe we're
chair,
on the
amendment. Chair, we have a motion on the floor with a second.
Okay. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Okay, that was a motion to postpone. Correct, Madam Clerk?
No, that was the motion to amend.
To amend. Okay.
Motion to table.
So now we're back on the bill as amended. Correct?
Yes, sir.
Motion to table. Mr. Collins, Chair.
Second.
I have a motion to table the call of the chair and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Okay, ONCR 20-05 will be on the table. So that moves us on to ONCA 20-41. Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I had Mr. Gill draft this legislation. I also have another draft of, this is an amendment to 1439, which is the law that sets out the compensation for elected officials in the executive, judiciary, and Congress. Constitutionally, it's a constitutional duty of Congress to have that set out in law. I had an amendment drafted solely for the Social Security portion, but as we were in session this past hunk of session and the COVID virus was unfolding, the economic uncertainty was unfolding, not knowing how we were going to manage without our revenues that we were used to, that were projected. It was my thought and idea that the congressional members could examine what we're currently earning in our salary and quite possibly take a cut to preserve our legislative branch budget, do our part to cut back. I tried to get the bill put out on the floor to consider on the last day, and I know that was a last minute thing to do. But as I continued to think about it, I still believe it's the right thing to do for us to examine that. I don't know moving forward what the economy of our nation, our state, the United States is, where it's going to end. I've listened to economists and people's views on the ever-changing winds that we're navigating right now. So this was my effort to put out there to do a part to try to reduce our budget somewhat. I know that 10% is not much, but simple math just on the salary. And I know that there is a benefits component that's going to change that. And I don't have all of the numbers totally worked out yet, but simple math would allow for an individual member of the Osage Nation to be fully vested, several members in the health benefit. And that's important to them. And I feel like that I, as one member of Congress, could do my part to help secure benefits to our people, albeit small. I know it's not millions of dollars that we're going to save, but Congress consistently, year over year, since I have been here, has done a very good job of budgeting tighter, reducing the number of staff it takes to work our office. And so I feel like with 2041, this is our time that we can do something before this election to reduce salaries of the employees. It was never my intention to hurt any individual members of Congress by this. That's why I started at 10% to test the waters to see where this body would want to go. I know some are single parents, and this is their only source of income. I would not want to put any of my colleagues in a devastating position to where they weren't able to perform this duty to the nation because they would have to totally rearrange their life to go get other employment outside that may be prohibitive to them sitting in this seat. So that's the reason I've started it at 10%. Change the definite benefits to encompass the ability for us to pay into the Social Security Administration. I asked for the bill be codified when I was looking it up to work on it. You can't find it in our code. I've also asked for a severability clause to be placed in this amendment and or into the bill because I don't believe it currently exists. So with all that being said, I'm open to questions. I think this is a good time for us to discuss what we're going to do. I realize that things are ever changing. We're getting, it's my understanding, we're receiving some federal dollars in two different ways. We've appropriated some of our permanent fund for the nation to move forward with. So I realize we're in ever-changing times, but the decision is now for us to make this, and we have 10 days to do it. So thank you, Mr. Chair. That I'll yield the floor.
Thank you, Congresswoman Whitehorn. You've heard Congresswoman's description of her piece of legislation. Any question or comment?
Chairman Big Horse, Speaker Tillman.
Yes, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, sir. This piece of legislation is very interesting to me, and the sponsor has made the comment about not sure where the economy is headed, that the uncertainty, the volatility of the economic crisis from the COVID-19 is very unsure, and that to me speaks to the previous, what we just tabled, ONCA 2005, about Social Security and its volatility. We're unsure, and we don't know. None of us know. This reduction that she has in the bill of 10% is her recommended starting point, and I get that. And she's leaving it out there for us to either increase it or decrease it. When I first saw the 10% reduction, I initially thought about the 10% impact, how it affects individuals of this body differently. It may be very devastating to an individual who's raising children, to an individual that is helping their families, to an individual that combines this reduction with the obvious impact of headright payments that are going to be down, and that's all that we have. Lifestyles of individuals are impacted by this 10%. So there's also the consideration of there could be a possibility of six new members of this Congress sitting here in a month. and how that impacts them and their decisions to run for Congress in the first place. So there is information coming in on a daily basis, and I know that there is the possibility of changes being made, not only 10%, but 20% that will be talked about. And are these moves going to be, because this is going to make an effect for 2 years. If this legislation passes as is, it will be for 2 years, my understanding. There's also talk of how can we work this to possibly be at whatever percentage, 10%, 20%, 30%, 25%, is it going to be a temporary move? We don't know. I do know that the Ponca City casinos were open last week, and we have to talk about our revenue. That's all, you know, that's 98% of our revenue that the Ponca City reopening was a huge success. Huge success, record-setting success. And now we have also the other properties that are going to launch this weekend. And I anticipate, based on what we saw in Ponca, that they will be successful as well. Have not heard from Creek or Cherokee. They're not opening this weekend. So I'm sure our gaming board, those folks, they're preparing for a major crowds. Does this get us back to where we need to be? No, it's still going to take a while. There's also the possibility of another surge coming in the wintertime and being able to prepare and move forward and adjust this nation's monetary budgets accordingly. So I do think, and I have stated, that this starts at the top. It should not only include Congress, but it should also include all of the 17 elected officials in this governing body. 10% I look at, and I can just speak for myself, but if I have a dollar and, oh, here's a dime, that doesn't hurt me, but that doesn't say it doesn't hurt somebody else. So I'm compassionate about that as well. This is a decision that I believe there will be more information to help us talk about and discuss reductions in these cuts in our salaries that could possibly wait until next week, until we have some further additional information to look at the performance of our revenue streams and to look at the government stimulus money that we're also receiving, and to talk to members of Congress and how this impacts them. Making a decision on this today, I don't believe it's going anywhere, but I do like the conversation and I do like the discussion. So that's kind of where I am right now, would like to wait. We do have the 10 days with a 3-day extension to make solid choices based on more information. So that's what I have to say, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Any other members? Hearing none, Congresswoman Whitehorn, I just want to state that I am in favor of both of these pieces of legislation, but I am concerned about the numbers. Congresswoman Lemon brought up a good point, and is this going to cost us more than what we're already paying out? Because there are a number of us, I was opposed to this back in 2013. Congress was trying to participate in Social Security then. The law was pretty clear that elected tribal members were councils were not eligible to participate, and we went around and around about it back then. My term ended in June of 2014. That after then is when the 401k come in. So I'm not that familiar with the 401k. I do not participate in it. But I am concerned about the cost of switching over, and you have, I believe, around 8 members that do not participate. And I think they do that because, well, they all have their own reasons. But saying that, you know, I would like to see, we do have another meeting scheduled for tomorrow. If we could gather some numbers, that would help me.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, if I may.
Yes, Congresswoman.
I briefly reviewed the fiscal analysis sent by the Mr. Frazier, and the one that I have in my hand right now belongs to 2041, and I did not have the opportunity to read it, but there is a request in. We started out, and it was kind of combined. The two were intertwined somewhat, and to me, it wasn't. It would be better represented and presented for the resolution to have its fiscal analysis and the bill to have its. So that's what we're in the process of doing, is separating those. And I will gladly work with him to get those numbers to you today and the fiscal analysis to you today, so members will have that to look at on each, the resolution and the bill. So yes, sir, I agree that it's important to look at the numbers and to see the percentages that we're looking at, where that puts our congressional budget, because that is my intention, is to have a reduction in our budget. So thank you. And I will make sure I'll see that Mr. Jordan, get with him and see if he can't get ONCR 2005 completed. And we will present that to the body of Congress by email today at some point in time. I'm hopeful.
Okay. Thank you, Congresswoman. That being said,
motion to postpone ONCA 2041 to the call of the chair.
Second.
I have a motion to postpone to the call of the chair and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed?
Opposed.
Identify. You're still. You're still. Okay. Seeing none. Next on the agenda.
Congresswoman Whitehorn, could you mute your computer? Thank you.
Motion to adjourn.
Chair, this is the clerk.
Yes, Madam Clerk.
You also have ONCR 2005 on the table that needs to be addressed. It was tabled, not postponed. So,
move to postpone ONCR 2041 to the call of the chair, Whitehorn.
2041's already been tabled. We need
2005. ONCR 2005, move to postpone to the call of the chair.
Second.
Motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion passes. It's postponed.
Motion to adjourn.
Okay.
Second.
Motion. Have a motion to adjourn and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 We are adjourned. Madam Clerk?
Yes, sir.
I will give you a call here in just a few minutes. I think I'm going to have to do a revised agenda for tomorrow to add a piece of legislation. And can I do